Well, I think I accidentally started with a mute, so we're going to get to try that all over again. Hi, my name's Alan Hebert, and this is my wife, Danae, of Your Holy Family. So you can see my wife's dressed up, and I'm not. I'm wearing a World Meeting of Families from 2015 in Philadelphia. It was a little pilgrimage we made up to Philadelphia, all the way from Texas. It's a very spiritually enriching time for our families, and it kind of comes into play in our topic today. Our topic is rebirth or living out Lenten priorities. So let's begin in prayer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of our families. We ask you, we invite you to sit in the center chair of our family, to be at the center of our family life, and for all our decisions in our family to be with you firmly planted in the center, guiding us in this path of holiness for our families. For you have given us these children, which who are our primary responsibility, those that we are to evangelize, that we are to form in your ways, Lord. And we ask you to be with us in this undertaking, this very holy undertaking, this journey towards holiness and eventually towards heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So rebirth, Lenten priorities. And today is the first Sunday of Lent. We've had a few days in Lent. Hopefully your Lenten sacrifices are going well. Your resolutions on what you're going to do differently are going well. If you're reading along and utilizing our Lenten family-friendly reflections, the topic today is, well, it's all about the Ark. It's about 40 days within the Ark, and how we can listen to God and how we can listen to him in silence. Because in addition to Noah and 40 days, we also hear about Jesus heading off into the wilderness to be alone with his Father and to listen to him to begin the hard work that he has been called to do. So as parents, we're called to do hard work also. It may not be saving the whole world, but if we form our family well, we can affect all those around us. And that leads me to something that we developed, I guess we sought out early on, and when we felt called to do family ministry. We're like, what is God's plan for family life? And we started searching, and we found John Paul II's writings. And in Familiaris Consortio, he says the mission of the family is to guard, reveal, and communicate love. Sounds simple. So we have to know what love is. That is reading scripture, that is getting to know the Lord, because he is the Word of God and loves perfectly. So we can understand love by getting to know love himself. And we are called to not only know love, but to guard it. Okay, guard it, reveal, and communicate. So our family should reveal love within it. When people meet us, they should say, ah, that is what love looks like in the interactions within the family. And then we're called to reveal that to the world. So not only when people encounter us, but when we or members of our family encounter the world, that they will know we are Christians by our love. But we'll talk about that more later. But that is the mission of the family, and it's what we're all called to do. So rebirth, Lent is a time of rebirth. It is a time for us to look at our schedules, to look at if Jesus is the Lord of our family. So pull out your calendar. This is a great activity to do. We have a calendar on our website. You can just search for a calendar. It's in the family formation section under God's plan for family life. You have an activity you can do. You can download a calendar, put it out on a table, and write down all the activities you're involved in. And then as you're writing out this calendar, look at it and see if there's enough evidence to convict you of having Jesus at the center of your family life. Our calendars get busy. I know it for us. Our calendars have gotten very busy at times. And sometimes we don't even realize how busy we are until something happens, right? Because life is not predictable, right? There are a lot of things that go on in our lives, and we have zero control over it. And when that happens, we may realize that we were juggling one too many balls in the air at one time. We have no flexibility in our schedule to maybe choose something that is best for our children and best for our relationship with the Lord. Maybe we're like, we're too busy with all these commitments. We don't have time to go to Stations of the Cross during Lent. We don't have time to read scripture together. Happens. It's happened to us and our family. So Lent's a time where we can step back, review our priorities, and make some adjustments. Sometimes they're minor adjustments. Sometimes they're major adjustments. So we have those many priorities. I used to do a talk for a program called Jesus is Lord at the parish we were at in Texas. And we had this little slide that had all these chairs around it. And it had one chair in the center. And we asked people, you know, be honest. What's in that middle chair? What of the things you are doing in your life is sitting in that middle chair? And of course, this was something you did on your own as an individual. And, you know, some people were very honest and they put my work or my kids or my wife as in the center chair. And then we said, so where is Jesus? You know, honestly, where is he at in your life? And sometimes I even had some people that said, Jesus doesn't even have a chair. He's not in the circle, and he's certainly not in the middle. He's outside the circle, right? That was a very, I don't know, an easy way to see, because you have chairs everywhere. You can see kind of how this thing might work. And the challenge is to figure out how to move Jesus maybe from a chair on the outside, you know, one of your main priorities. It's part of your priority list, right? He's one of many, and he's sitting around there. But the one in the center is the one that you will give up anything for to preserve that priority, whether it's your spouse, your kids, work, money, whatever. That's what you will give up everything else for to keep. So Jesus needs to be in the center. It's honoring the first commandment, right? So my wife suggested that we talk about activities, all right? I remember when Pope Benedict, he said something. It was a little shocking because I'd been at many parishes and we'd have ministry fairs. And you go to the ministry fair and everybody's like, hey, join our ministry and look what we do. And they were all so good, right? All the ministries that are available at the parish are awesome things to do, right? Serving the poor, homebound ministry, you know, helping with the liturgies, right? Whatever it might be, all good things. And everybody wants your time. So Pope Benedict, in the course of this, because I was pretty excited about getting involved in the parish. And so I was like, man, what am I going to get involved in? What are we going to get involved in as a couple, as a family? And Pope Benedict kind of surprised me because I was feeling a little overwhelmed after a while. I was like, oh, I was on the stewardship committee. I was helping to run a men's Bible study. I was doing a lot of things. And Pope Benedict, he wrote, I think it might have been one of his Wednesday audiences. He says, it is possible to be too busy with the things of the church. It's like, whoa, wow. This is the leader of the Catholic Church saying that he doesn't want you to be too busy with the things of the church. And that can be volunteering at church. It can be doing all the things to help your kids be holy, right? Driving all around town, spending late nights, going to adoration with your kids every day or daily mass, right? You might be able to do that. We're not saying any of those things are bad, but it's a discernment. You know, a priest friend of mine, and he was in a homily. He said, you're the head of a family. And you need to remember that when you're deciding what spiritual practices you're going to do, what enrichment, right? If you were a monk, your way of living would be rising early in the morning, doing your morning prayers, office of readings, the whole liturgy of the hours. You're praying all the time and you're working a little bit, right? But that's not what parents are. Parents run a family. It has to be work so you can make some money. You got to provide for your family. But you're not running a monastery. You're not running a religious congregation. You're not working at a church normally, right? And you need to treat it that way. Your home is the domestic church, and your domestic church is in the world, but not of the world. So keep that in mind. Even Pope Benedict says, you can be too busy with the things of the church. So be careful, because if you're one of the 20% that volunteers at your church, everybody's going to want you to volunteer because you're there. I used to get out all the time and say, are you going to be a deacon? I'm like, now, are you saying that because you really feel like the Lord's calling me to be a deacon? Or are you saying that because I'm taking my faith seriously? And the answer was usually, you're taking your faith seriously, and we don't see that a lot. So committed Catholic families look different maybe than a lot of the people at your parish. And so you're going to get asked to do a lot. And having the courage to say, no, my family right now is most important. I have young kids, I have teenagers, and I have to, you know, help them with their various activities. One of my kids is struggling, so I can't be up at the Knights of Columbus cooking barbecue, chickens, whatever, right? I need to be home. That's my primary vocation, is to be with my wife and my children and to form saints, to create a community of love, to guard, reveal, and communicate love within my family. Because your family can change the world one family at a time. You don't have to do great things. You don't have to be on a, be a famous Catholic speaker to change the world. You can do it with your family. But you can't do it if you're living as the world lives. You look around and you see what other families value. Right? You can come up with the list. College education. The kids make a lot of money. Maybe they got married, right? They're not in jail. They're not doing drugs. I mean, you come up with the list, right? What does the world tell you a successful family is? But is there more? What does the Lord tell us makes a successful family? It's a family that loves. So I'm going to close with this. This is something I wrote not too terribly long ago. I guess it was a long time ago. The article itself is called All You Need Is Love. So if you get on our website, search All You Need Is Love. I say the Beatles were right. All we need is love. But this is the part I'm going to read to you. As St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, and you're probably familiar with this. If you've ever been to a wedding, this is the passage that you always hear. I modified it a little bit for families. So bear with me. We can do all the right things as parents. Have the most efficiently run home on the block, provide our kids the best education, use the right form of discipline every time, always have the right words to say to soothe a broken heart or a scraped knee. But if we do not have love, then we are a noisy gong, and we will not achieve our desired goal of leading our children to a closer relationship with the Lord and eventually to heaven. So I hope you're having a blessed Lent, and I hope that it continues to be more fruitful, and perhaps our family-friendly reflections will help your family to grow closer to the Lord. It's something that we provide for you parents. This is not something for your kids to go off and read on their own. It's something for you parents to utilize to read scripture with your family, to open God's word, and to get to know love better. You have anything to add, my dear, before we officially close?
So the one thing I would add is, how do you recognize whether your family understands love? And I would say it's the joy, the happiness in the family. You know, we're your holy family and you're your holy family. We're all striving to be holy, and holiness is happiness. So if happiness seems to evade you and it's not always there, like, take a look at your priorities. Are we putting God at the center? Are people actually feeling loved? Because when you feel loved, it automatically exudes a joy and a peaceful happiness in your heart.
That will help weather the storms of family life. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. Amen. Mm-hmm.